Did you just say you're cool?
Yeah, of course. I'm definitely claiming it. I'm definitely cooler than you anyway.
Ooh, big statement. Big statement.
Melanin and Me. Exploring the Black woman's experiences in Britain.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back to another episode of Melanin and Me. And woo-hoo! Today, you've just got us, the dream team, woo, the duo, partners in crime. Duo.
The dynamic duo,
and we're excited actually because we haven't, it hasn't been the two of us for a long time now, is it?
Just the two of us. We can make it.
The harmony is not working. Let's not. I think we want more listeners, not less. So we're going to talk today about imposter syndrome, as you will have seen from the title, which we thought was a really crucial topic, particularly kind of like when we've been in a post-pandemic world, people have shifted jobs a lot of the time or working remotely, so they've not got their peers around them, potentially feeling a bit isolated in their roles or whatever it is they're doing. So we thought it was a good topic to dive into. So before we get started, we are just going to, for those who aren't familiar with imposter syndrome, talk about what it means and just share the definition.
Give us some knowledge. Let's go.
I will try. So imposter syndrome is a psychological occurrence in which an individual doubts their skills, talents, or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. So basically, despite the fact they've got external evidence of their competence, those experiencing this phenomenon just simply don't believe that they deserve their success or their luck. So pretty big thing, you know. What does that mean for you, Ray? Like, talk to me.
Yeah, before we move on, can you just give us a reference, because we can't just be stealing the internet's ideas. We need to give credit.
Oh, what? Sorry, that was Wikipedia. I can't give a date. Just Wiki. It's off Wiki, guys.
I thought it was Ashley.
You didn't think it was an original?
Ashley 2022.
Have a little faith.
Imposter syndrome. I also, sorry, I'm going off topic, but why is it not imposter? Because it's poster. But anyway, let me know.
We did the episode on English being your second language. So if you want to go back to that one, we can.
Imposter syndrome. I guess I experienced this very earlier on in my career. When I was quite young, so the first initial one was when I took a group of kids to a fixture at a nearby school. Got there, got out the minibus. I was like, girls, we need to be lining up here. We'll wait for the teacher to come and get us. The teacher gets there and they're like, oh, where's the teacher? Like, who are you? Yeah. And they were like, oh, are you like a supply teacher? Like, who are you, type of thing? And I was like, oh, like, here's my badge. I am a PE teacher. And then I think the main thing for me at that point, it was, I was questioning in my head and I was like, is it because I'm young or is it because of race? Because you don't really get to see.
Or both.
Yeah. Because you don't really get to see many Black PE teachers. So I was like, this is a bit sus. So from that point on, that picture and that image always remains vivid in my head. Cause I was like, oh my God, like, rah. They really thought I wasn't a teacher, and I wonder why she said what she said, that lady said what she said, and it stuck with me. So for me, it's I experience it quite a lot, actually, especially in the work that I do in the teaching world, especially when I turn up and I'm like, yeah, I'm a PE teacher because I'm young, I'm cool. I don't know what they expect, to be fair with you.
Did you just say you're cool?
Yeah, of course. I'm definitely claiming it. I'm definitely cooler than you anyway.
Ooh, big statement. Big statement. She hasn't got imposter syndrome with her coolness.
No.
No, that's an interesting one. And I think there's often, do you know, it's funny because I don't know why my brain straight went to it. But if you've ever watched it, it's a real trash program called Below Deck. Me and my mum are obsessed with it. But it's just people on a yacht, following people who work on a yacht, but it is actually really entertaining. For those who know, you know. and they always have Captain Lee, who's the captain of the ship. Mm-hmm. And for one episode in the or season in the Mediterranean, they've got Captain Sandy, who's a woman, and they have their deckhands, so the people who kind of like help with logistics of the ship. And then they all do their intros at the start because they all come from all areas of the world, and then they all just come together, work on the ship for however long. And when they were doing the intros, one of the deckhands goes to the captain like, oh, like, you know, are you one of the waitresses or whatever? And she's like, I'm your captain. And like, she was in literally like, she was like on the captain's like, you know, the little area, they, I can't think of a, the phrase, and she's got the outfit on and everything. And she's just like, and literally she's a boss as well. Mm. And it's just, it is interesting because there is that assumption. And even I find that women do this to women. Like I've had a number of times where if I'm referencing, like, let's say a manager or some person in a authoritative role, like that person goes, oh, is he? And I'm like, no, is she? And it's just funny how our, like, our heads, it's just that bias, isn't it? We just flip straight away. We paint that picture automatically, but we also have that internal picture of what we think that perfection looks like. And if we don't meet that, I think that's where imposter syndrome comes from.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, like, I was looking at research because I'm a geek like that. And it said something like 70% of people have experienced imposterism at work at some point in their working life. 70%, which means only 30%. Who are those 30% who haven't experienced it? Because I feel like...
I can tell you who.
Well, then tell me.
It's that same cohort of people that are them same CEOs that you see. They're the 30%.
Come on, say it with your chest. Say it with your chest if you're bad. So you're white man.
You're pale sail male.
Yeah.
So they
really are that confident, and they're like, yeah, like, this is me. I belong here. There's no doubt about it.
I think it's more that entitlement bit. And I think the thing that I think that the imposter syndrome, when almost like the right balance of it, can be healthy, which might sound a bit odd, but I think, you know, if it consumes you, absolutely not, because it holds you back and it can be detrimental. Mm-hmm. And we're going to obviously talk through some of the symptoms and things and how to overcome it. But I think, you know, actually with the right, it's almost like that balance of being humble and kind of wanting to work hard and kind of prove yourself and demonstrate that you've got the skills and knowledge to be able to pursue whatever task it is. Because I think if you go in and you're complacent, that's when people tend to underperform, or, you know, they just assume that they're going to, you know, maybe get a pay rise or get a promotion, or they're going to win a competition or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So I think to some degree it can be quite a positive thing, but only when it's harnessed in the right way.
Exactly. And there's got to be a certain amount of that anxiety that does come with that imposter syndrome, because if we look at that graph, you know, the graph where it's like your work and the anxiety. So anxiety and work produced goes up. And then when you get to a certain degree of anxiety, it sort of like becomes detrimental to your work and what you're
doing.
Yeah. So yeah, as you've said, like, you've got to have that certain element of imposter syndrome to be able to work hard. But even then, I'm thinking, why do I have to have that negative experience and that negative feeling?
I think part of the answer to that is, you know, there's usually a trigger. There's usually even somebody somewhere that's made you feel like you're not good enough, or someone that's tried to put you down. And often it's because they feel insecure, they feel the same way. And I give an example for myself. Like, you know, I had a really, really toxic manager previously. And, you know, I remember having my appraisals with her and performance reviews with her. And, you know, I was absolutely working my socks off and whatever. And she would always underscore me for things. And, you know, it would really, really make me question. And some of the phrasing and language that she would use was really, it really was triggering. You know, like, she would, I remember one time we had a scoring system, and I always credit myself for being that person who's like the friendly one in the office. Like, even if I was actually rubbish at my job, like, one thing I know that I lock down is just building relationships with people. Right. So there was an actual, one of our values as an organization was about something to do with respect everyone or being friends with people or whatever. So I thought, right, this is one I know I'll be fine with this one. And I got a really low score, and I was kind of like, you know, what's, can I just have a bit of an understanding as to why, like, you know, is there been something I've done? And she said, oh no, I just think you're too enthusiastic and actually you're quite intimidating. And I honestly, it really, really broke me, because I just thought, that's not just a task related thing. That's like a, that's personal, like a reflection of my character. Yeah. And, you know, and the more that, and I went back and had that conversation with her and a follow up, and, you know, it was it was a really interesting, like, situation for me, because it was one of the first times I actually stood up for myself, because I knew full well that that wasn't the reality, and everybody else around me knew that that was the case. But it was actually, you know, though, seeing the effect it can have on you, because you do then start to question and think, actually, you know, am I as good a colleague as I could be? Like, is there something that I've maybe missed here? Have I missed a trick? And, you know, it can be just as simple as somebody like a line manager or a peer who just plants that seed, and then it starts to really make that grow in your mind.
Yeah. I remember recently as well, a colleague came to me and was like, so we were out like doing something, and I was talking to one of the kids, and this kid was responding really well. And usually they're a bit of a nightmare in and around school. Mm-hmm. And this colleague goes, oh yeah, like, I'm so surprised how well they've reacted to you. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is my job. Like, I'm qualified to do. Yeah. Like, I'm qualified to do this. Why are you so surprised?
Yeah.
And instantly then my thought was like, am I not good enough to do this?
Yeah.
Why am I not good enough to do this? And, but then something in my head was just like, no, like, you're just jealous. You're just like, bad vibes, get away from me. I was just like, yeah, they do. Like, I find it really awkward sometimes, because I'm having to tell you that I am more than qualified for this job. But at the same time, you're like a member of the leadership team, if that makes sense. Like, you have that experience. You've had more than plenty years experience to be able to see and know when somebody is good at their job, if that makes sense. But yeah, you are there just like, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's you know, like, as I say, it can take sometimes just those comments. And I remember, as you just mentioned about senior leadership team, obviously, as you know, my last job, I was one of four in the senior leadership team. I was the only person who was under 30. I was the only woman of color, like, and I really felt like I stood out like a sore thumb. And I would always be in those senior team meetings, and there was like one particular colleague who would always reference, like, and she would always say it as a joke, but it was, because it was so consistent, it was really like, it always stuck in my mind of, oh, you know, like, you're too young, Ashley, you wouldn't like remember this in like passing about, you know, it might just be something quite lighthearted, but it was almost that reminder of like, you're the baby here, like, leave it to the people who are more experienced. And I think, you know, obviously there's always that insecurity going into a role when you're a younger person, particularly as in a management role, when you're managing old people who are older than you.
Yeah.
But actually, like, you have to really be like confident and strong enough in yourself to take your kind of personal ego out of it and just say, actually, do you know what? I've been hired for this position because of my skills, competencies, experience. And, you know, I'm the best person for this job. So you have to, and you have to keep reminding yourself and be proactive about it, because, you know, nobody else is going to do it for you. Yeah. So
I tell you where else I also feel that imposter syndrome quite a bit, actually, at the gym. So the gym that I go to, the CrossFit box. So the fitness industry altogether, except for certain gyms that I've been to, actually, where they've been quite diverse. But the gym that I go to, I could go like months and months without seeing anybody who's black or brown. And that literally, sometimes I'm like, whoa, do I belong here? Should I be here? Like, what is going on? And it does play on your mind, because you're like, even for like small things, when you don't get like the number that you wanted to lift, and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, even if you just, if it's just that down, that one off day that, you know, it's just an off day, but then you're like, ah, right. Like, you literally make that your whole, like, would you overgeneralize it? So it's like that one bad day becomes, oh, every day is a bad day sort of thing. That is 100%.
And that has a massive impact as well, because obviously because they're all like Caucasian at the box that I go to, even the music, like down to the music that they play, I'm just like, I'm just like, I can't vibe to this. Like, I can only do so much with this. Like, give me some Burna Boy. Give me something to just get me going, boy.
Yeah. It's funny how the environment has such a big part to play on. Like, it's, I think what you're talking about there is identity. So I think it's crucial when we're talking about imposter syndrome that identity plays a massive part, because, you know, we've talked about that whole you can't be what you can't see thing, and having role models and people around you that look, feel, sound like you. Mm-hmm. And I think actually, if you are a minority, if you are somebody, you know, as I said in the senior leadership team, as you said in the gym, like actually it makes you question things more, because you're not the majority in the room. So it's almost like I'm the anomaly, therefore maybe I am the person who's underperforming or the person who's out of place. So I think it's really important that when we look at, you know, why we feel this way, we're able to identify what it is specifically in that kind of objective way. So it's not just actually, no, like I am rubbish. It's like, hang on a second. No, let me look around me. There's a reason why I feel this way. And I think an example for me, which I can't say is about the identity bit, because it was one of those experiences where I felt most, I really belonged, was when I did Miss Caribbean UK. Mm-hmm. But actually it was a skill that I just felt, I mean, it was a challenge, right? I didn't know anything about pageantry. I hadn't had any experiences before, but actually like everybody was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being so nervous all the time, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, although people are kind of building you up and telling you how good you're doing, or, you know, I was always thinking like, no, this was rubbish. And I would just, my self-talk was awful. Mm. And I just think all that does is breed more fear and more anxiety and more worry. And actually it doesn't really get you anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it does have an impact on your mental health as well. So like, if we're looking at symptoms or what sort of like feelings are attached to that imposter syndrome, so you've got things like feeling extremely exhausted, emotional exhaustion, depersonalization. So all these symptoms are a part of that imposter syndrome, which is really massive. If you think about the bigger picture, it has an impact on all the different elements and different aspects of your life as well.
Yeah, it definitely has that. It has that wider, like, it's that almost fatigue, because you don't switch off. And I think if I were to ask myself like years ago, not so much
years
now.
Ago, but you're going on like you're like 50 years.
Back in my day. But like, I would probably say like early 20s. I know I still do quite a few different extracurricular things, but I used to just be rammed and I used to fill my week. And if I actually asked myself why, it wasn't, you know, it was because, you know, it was almost like I needed to constantly prove myself. And I think that is a result of, you know, that imposter syndrome of thinking like, well, if I just do the bare minimum, it's not going to be enough. You know, I need to keep pushing. I need to keep trying to get this new qualification or take part in this or join this committee, or, you know, it really can like consume your, as you say, your mental, your physical fatigue. And I think part of that is then that whole self-worth and feeling unworthy of attention or affection. So it's almost like sometimes it can manifest in a way where you take on so much, or you try, almost overly try, because you want to gain that attention or affection, which can be really like a tough process to keep going.
Another sort of like the opposite to that is that element of downplaying accomplishments. So like, again, people, you'd enter rooms and people think that you're not, well, you enter rooms because of that imposter syndrome. You're thinking, whoa, I don't belong here. I'm not qualified. I haven't got the experience. When in actual fact, if you look at on paper, you are the most qualified individual there. So I can, from my own experience, like the people that I work with that have been going for all these different jobs, which I have put myself out there as well, if you look on paper, I've had far more experience. I'm far more qualified, like masters, and turned down a PhD. What? I'm so glad I can laugh about it now, because
I remember the actual time you're like, what shall I do with my life?
Yeah. Having to turn down a PhD. So when you look on paper, more than qualified, but the people and the rooms that you are in, they make you feel like you are inadequate.
Mm.
And what's that saying that we saw the other day? It was like, no, I'm not going to say it because it's a bit rude.
What are you talking about?
You know, the t-shirt that we saw, if you can't, so it was like, if you can't fit at a table, you should make your own table or something like that. If you haven't got a seat on the table, you should make your own table. So why don't we do that and get rid of that imposter syndrome? Because boy, it's exhausting.
It's tough. And I think I'll flip it on its head, actually, because I get what you're saying about the on paper bit and the qualifications. But I also think, like, on the other hand, and I've seen this with my mum, actually, I remember when she went for her job that she's in now, and she on paper hadn't, you know, she's not got a degree or anything like that, but she'd done so much fundraising, voluntary work, and she had all, you know, her role as head of fundraising at NHS hospital. So, you know, she was more than qualified for the job in terms of her experience, but she just, given her path and her journey, she hadn't, you know, done the certain educational things, and, like, you know, it's not necessarily really a requirement of the role. But I think in her mind, when she was going through that process, it was like, you know, as typical, it's generally you see a degree level or equivalent as one of the first things where for when you apply for a job. So some people, that would just put them off altogether, or they won't go for it because they'll just think it is a non-negotiable and there's no point in me applying, which is silly, because, you know, yes, as much as I value my degree, ultimately it's a piece of paper that's sat in a frame somewhere in my study, and the amount of things that I've applied from my degree to my actual working life are very, you know, it's very small. You know, the same way I haven't used Pythagoras theorem, like, ever. So
you mean to tell me you've not worked out the angles in your room? Well,
you know, sometimes I do just like to, like, compare scalenes and
I don't know.
There's one beginning with a T. I can't think of it.
Trapezius.
Yeah. That one. Or Trapezium. One of the two. I'm sorry if there's any maths people actually listening out there. This is terrible reflection.
Trapezium. That's not a triangle, though. That's like a four-sided shape.
Yeah. We'll put the different types of triangle in the footnotes. What was I saying? So she then felt like, oh my God, there was that anxiety before. And girl smashed the interview. She got the job, she's best person for the job. But it's, again, it's like that whole, it's just that ideology of what we think should be perfection and what actually is. And I think the biggest thing is just being true to yourself and just looking at, actually, do you know what? Like, your character is something you'll carry with you wherever you go. And, you know, you can build your skill set over time, but actually if you are trying to be somebody else, it's just not going to work. So I think another symptom as well, which is quite typical with this, is, like, as you said, sort of downplaying your accomplishments, but also, like, putting other things to the forefront. So saying, like, oh, it was just luck, or, like, there was another reason for your success. And one thing I found with, like, managing a team, it's kind of just my natural leadership skills, like, style anyway, but I would find it really hard.
Let's go.
Follow the leader. I could never say something was my because of me. I would always put it down to my team, and I probably wouldn't change it, but I think sometimes I had to really stop myself and be like, actually, no, like, just pat yourself on the back for this, because that was because of you. It wasn't because of luck. It wasn't because, you know, it was all to do with everybody else. And actually, no, you led that, you owned it. And, you know, the same way that we try and big people up who come on the pod and we say, you know, like, you're a CEO, or you're this, or you're that, like, big yourselves up, girls, big yourselves up.
Yes. It's important to take a moment to just appreciate how far you've come as well. Like, another thing that I was going to chat to us about was that feeling of wanting to hold back from reaching attainable goals. So for example, I always reference it back to jobs because, again, I remember vividly going for this job. There was three of us. Mm-hmm. And there was three people. We all had interviews, but there was one person who had inside information from one of the leaders within that team.
Little mole.
Yeah. So, but the other two weren't privileged to that information. And again, it goes back to who you know and how you can get into those spaces. So my girl, because she had somebody at the top, she got all the links and all the hookups and she was able to get the job. And I then looked back at that and I was sort of like reflecting and I was like, maybe like this is going to be an impossible task because I don't have those people to like get through that.
The network.
Yeah, I don't have that network. Like, so it does become really difficult and it does play with your head. But what I am thankful for is that experience when you get knocked down and then you get picked up and you get elevated even higher. So
yes, girl, yes.
Done.
Higher and higher. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's all about resilience. And I know sometimes the R word can be a little bit kind of controversial, particularly in like, you know, our Black community. It's like, oh, you have to be this massively resilient, strong person. But ultimately, the more and more that you have those challenges or those, you know, like the example I gave with my boss earlier, that only made me, you know, just the fact that I went back and questioned it or went back and have had that follow-up conversation, it meant that I wasn't accepting of just thinking, oh no, I'm not good enough, you know. So I think it's important that we do have those moments to learn, to get those lessons, so we can reap even more blessings in life, you
blessings
know?
Blessings are.
You know?
Yes.
We've talked about already the kind of symptoms and the ways it can manifest and a couple of our experiences. Obviously, if there's anyone listening in and, you know, this kind of, whether one example or all of them resonate with you, where you just understand that, you know, this is a big part of your life. We want to talk about how to kind of overcome it and some tips to kind of help you feel better. And at least, you know, it's not going to go away necessarily, but just how to manage it and feel more at ease. And I think one of those, which we've sort of already touched on, is separating feelings from facts. So, you know, look at where you're getting that information from. So is the often the pressure that we put on ourselves is internal. And I remember a good exercise I used to do with my team, actually, when you get that feeling of overwhelm and there's like so many different things that you've got going on and you're trying to prioritize your workload. And I would always get them to write down what the tasks were or the things were that used to overwork, like overload them. And I used to get them to write in a column next to it, you know, where's that pressure coming from?
Okay.
And because often it would be like the assumption was it was coming from the funder or the project lead or a colleague or a manager or whoever. And nine times out of 10, it was always that person.
When you looked at the facts, it was like, nah, B.
Yeah. No, exactly. And so what that meant was they could step away and then say, okay, actually this is me, so now that means I'm in control of it and I can now, you know, reframe it and think, right, okay, let me break it down, prioritize it, rather than feeling as though, actually, oh my god, I've got all these things to do. Stop internalizing that stuff, you know. Separate those feelings from facts.
Thank you very much, Ash. That's such a good tip as well. Secondly, I'd say taking notes of your own accomplishments. So actually stepping back, and as soon as that imposter syndrome start hitting, taking a step back and be like, you know what? I am more than capable. This is what I've accomplished. We're all beautiful queens who are very, very smart, who've done some incredible and amazing things. So it's really important to just step back and take note, physically write them down. If you've got a notepad, physically write them down. I know Ash is a big person when it comes to like writing things down. Rather than writing them on the notes, actually physically write them down on a notepad, isn't it?
Journal, get them down. I mean, I've got a big mirror at the top of my stairs, you know, where I write down my you know, like affirmations and stuff. And, you know, sometimes it might just be an accomplishment. And as you see it, as you walk up the stairs every day, it subconsciously just, mm-hmm. you know, it imprints in your mind. But I think the other thing with that as well is, you know, I have a email folder for my work email, and I have it as nice emails, and it's the top one.
Oh.
And because I'm a soppy one, and basically, like, where I've had people like maybe praise a bit of work, or they've just said something really nice or kind, I'll put it in the nice emails folder, and then I'll go back to it every now and again and just have a flick through.
Oh.
And
that's so cute.
It's also something that I realize is really sad now that I've said it out loud to everybody. But one thing that I think I'm a big believer in, which, you know, is be the energy that you want to attract. And I think and you're a big good person for this, Ray, like when it comes to, like, let's say we're out and about and someone's wearing something nice, you know, like, you know, really like your dress, or, you know, whatever. But I think also it's important in the workplace to just praise somebody when they've done something spot on, because often people get so intimidated, and this is where the vicious cycle comes, because the more people get intimidated, they want to push other people down. Whereas, like, you know, I had it a couple of times where I've worked with somebody who's at a completely different organization to me, but actually, like, the way they approach things, or it might be they've chaired a meeting really well, or they've just brought good vibes maybe, and I'll just reach out to them, or sometimes even their boss. So their boss tells them that they've had positive feedback, and it can be completely anonymous, but it makes them feel recognized, appreciated, seen. And
I love that.
You know what, the world brings it right back to you, so just keep acknowledging other people's, you know, the good stuff they're doing, because, you know, it's important.
Nice. Another thing is stop comparing. So stop looking around that room and being like, well, they've done this, and I've only done this. No, sis, you are in there for a reason. You are in there because you're capable. You are in there because you are the energy that they need. So if we just stop that comparing, and I know it's easier said than done because we do it all the time, but if we could even slightly, even at 10%, stop that, life would just become so much easier when it does come to that imposter syndrome, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be feeling like you're not good enough because you've compared between yourself and X, Y, and Z.
And, like, you know, a good place that we do that often is social media, right? Like platforms such as Instagram. And, like, imposter syndrome can be about, you know, just how you look. You know, you might think, well, you know, people might see me without all my makeup and all these nice clothes on, and, you know, they're going to consider me a fraud. Like, you know, success is whatever you consider it to be. And, you know, unfortunately, some platforms, you know, can often, again, breed sort of like feelings and emotions like that. So take yourself away from them, step back, because ultimately you are a product of the environment that you allow yourself to be in. And that's not just a physical, that's a, you know, that's a spiritual, that's a, you know, a remote, because, again, a lot of the stuff we're doing is on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, if you expose yourself every day to the first thing that you do is you go on Instagram, you compare, like, you're flicking through what other people are doing, then you go on a work call and you're, like, comparing there, or then maybe you're going for, like, drinks with, like, friends who are maybe people that aren't really the right sort of vibe for you. Like, you just have to really review your circle and what you're exposing yourself to each and every day.
100%, I agree.
And I think a really important one is talking to others, and that could be a therapist, and kind of deepen it a little bit more if it's something that you feel is something you want to gain that professional and objective advice from, from an anonymous professional or specialist. But also just talking to, you know, other colleagues, other friends, other peers. One thing that I did during lockdown was joined a support group. I think I've mentioned it on the pod before, for women of color in leadership roles. And honestly, imposter syndrome. And honestly, when I tell you, the group of women in this room were absolutely phenomenal, and they were all ages, you know, from all different types of charities and backgrounds, incredible group of women, but all saying the same thing, you know, it was just like, and just talking and airing it out just made you really realize, and we're all uplifting each other. And sometimes those group settings can be really powerful. And I do think there are quite a lot of imposter syndrome support groups out there. So for those of you who are listening in and you think, actually, I wouldn't know where to start, just type it in. Just, you will find something. And even if you can't find something that formal, just chat to someone, chat to a friend. Have you heard about what imposter syndrome is? Have you felt it before? And you'd be surprised the response that you get.
Yeah, on that, it's really important as well, though, to just know where the line is. Like, your friends, there's only certain advice, or like, they'll listen to you, they'll be very supportive, but in terms of advice, there's only up to a certain type of advice that they can give you, because they're not qualified. So I feel like it's really important to find those support groups and to find those therapists and counselors who are qualified and who know what they're talking about. Because with certain things, not all our friends are going to know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You kind of have to review your circle and look at, you know, we were only talking like the other week about, you know, how do you view our friendship? Like, you know, what is it? How do you see me as a friend? Like, what's your go-to when you think of that person? Because we all kind of, without even consciously doing it, you know, we all have kind of roles for certain friends. Mm-hmm. So it's just being mindful of, actually, you know, don't go to the person who, you know, is maybe someone who could be a little bit jealous, or you know, that friend who maybe is a bit competitive, or is
bad,
a bit
vibe
of a bad vibe friend. You shouldn't have your bad vibe friend anyway, to be quite honest. Yeah. But you know, so yeah, that's definitely, go to the right people for sure.
Before we wrap up, we do have a Melanin and Me playlist. Ash, what are you currently listening to? 3 songs that you're currently listening to.
You know what, at the moment I'm absolutely obsessed with Thames. Like, I can't stop listening to her. However, I will put in it's so hard because they're so good. Crazy Things, that one always gets me.
Crazy Things,
I don't know if it's already in there, but this one's a bit of a sentimental one to me, for a special someone. But it's a song called let's not do that. And it's Hours and Hours, Money Long.
Yeah,
did I say it wrong?
I always say it's Money Long.
And then my last one I'm gonna put as Ella May, Naked. They're all very soppy songs, but that's just me. So guys.
Okay, what am I listening to at the minute?
We've
got to have a bit of burner. Last.
Yeah. Last.
Burner. I'm also listening to Nakamura. Oh, Jaja.
Yes.
I really love that song. So we're going to put that in there. Who else? We need one more. Oh, this is so hard. Right, I'm gonna have J. Cole, because he's my absolute favorite. And let's have, what are we gonna have? Let's have J. Cole, Ari Lennox, and J. Cole, Shea Butter Baby.
Shea Butter Baby.
Yes, Ari Lennox. Sorry, I'm just putting it on the thing so I don't forget later. But yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe, you follow us. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to stay blessed, wear that crown of pride, and keep shining.
Keep shining.
Woo! Okay, queens, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode where we spoke about all things imposter syndrome. We've gave you some hints and tips on how to overcome those feelings. We really appreciate you listening. If you can follow us on Instagram, our Instagram account is melanin_and_me. If you can follow us on Twitter.